Operation Rising Lion heralds the rising of the Son of Righteousness. As Bible in the News is in progress, another dramatic night is exploding in the Middle East. Yemen attacked Israel again. Israel responded with a targeted assassination. The Houthis' chief of staff and his deputies were assassinated. Israel is responding to Iran's indiscriminate missile attacks on civilian centers in Israel. Tehran is burning. Welcome to the Bible in the News. This is David Billington with you. The name of Israel's operation, Rising Lion, is taken from Bible prophecy. In fact, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu wrote a portion of Numbers 23, verse 24, the verse where it is taken from, on a note and placed it in the Western Wall while praying there just hours before the operation started. He wrote, "The people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion." The name of this operation should alert the nations to the fact that something far greater is going on than just another military operation. As much as we are able, we want to determine what the prophetical import of these momentous events are. Iran was on the verge of obtaining nuclear weapons, a development which would have been an existential threat to the nation of Israel. In fact, Israel said they could have assembled in the range of 9 to 15 nuclear bombs within a very short period. An Israeli official quoted by The Telegraph put the number at 50. The Telegraph quoted an IDF official who said that Israel faces an immediate existential threat from Tehran. On the edge of this precipice, Israel was forced to act. Or should we say, the Almighty One of Israel acted. Zechariah the prophet declared, "He that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye." The returned Jewish people and the state of Israel have been brought about by the hand of the Almighty. If Iran and all the peoples of the region recognized this fact, they would be much better off. Ezekiel 36, verses 8 to 11 read, "But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown. And I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it. And the cities shall be inhabited, and the waste shall be builded. And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit. And I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. This is the work of the Almighty. I will." The existential threat that Iran posed to the regathered Jewish people had to be removed. A t-shirt brought in Jerusalem a few years ago had the chutzpah to question the future of Iran. The t-shirt lists civilizations, nations, and empires that tried to destroy the Jewish people. From ancient Egypt to Nazi Germany, they are all marked as gone. Then lastly, beside Iran, there are three question marks. At the bottom of the t-shirt it says, "The Jewish people, the smallest of nations, but with a friend in the highest places. So be nice." Today, Iran is in great danger because of its threats to annihilate the Jewish people. The operation is apparently achieving greater success than Israel anticipated. Some of the nuclear sites have been severely damaged, though not all. Israeli jets have achieved freedom of action over Iran. 9 of the top nuclear scientists who worked on the weapons program have been eliminated, and many from the top echelon of the regime have been killed. Israel has suffered some blows with the Iranian missiles hitting civilian areas, and this threat continues. The current Operation Rising Lion would not have been possible, or would have been much more difficult, with a far greater price paid, if the following had not happened first. By recognizing these points, it enables us to more clearly see God's hand behind these events. 1. Russia has become bogged down in its war with Ukraine. Iran's ally and international backer, Russia, is in no position to come to Iran's aid. There have been reports of powerful Iranian leaders' families flying out of Iran to Russia. Beyond that, Russia is not currently in a position to offer much assistance. Russia has temporarily been turned back. 2. Iran's proxy Hezbollah has been decimated in its recent war with Israel. If Hezbollah had the military power it possessed before October 7th, Israel would be in dire straits. There would be thousands of missiles launched at the State of Israel. So far, Hezbollah has done little. Hezbollah was a loaded gun pointing at the head of Israel. 3. The Syrian regime has been removed, which supported Iran. Syria is the road to Iran. Israeli jets are utilizing this airspace. The collapse of the Assad regime, made possible partly by the decimation of Hezbollah and the turning back of Russia, made this possible. You may recall, after the collapse of the Assad regime, Israel destroyed every piece of Syrian military equipment which they could find. That has now cleared the skies of Syria. 4. Other terrorist entities supported by Iran have been weakened or decimated. These include the Houthis in Yemen and the Hamas terror organization. While Hamas did not pose an existential threat to Israel, they could certainly have caused a lot of pain, as they did on October 7th. However, the group is very weakened and may soon be largely destroyed. The Houthis have been weakened by Israeli and American attacks, which were a result of their foolhardy and useless attacks against the State of Israel and international shipping. Aside from Russia, this chain of events largely began with the disaster of October 7th and have in many ways been out of Israel's control. Israel's hand has been forced to act. One momentous event has led to another, which is bringing about an entirely different Middle East. The last vestiges of power remaining to the nations threatening Israel, who were carved out of the Ottoman Empire, are drying up. The collapse of the Assad regime in Syria is a clear example of this. The destruction of Iraq's nuclear reactor many years ago and subsequent weakening of the nation is another example. It would be appropriate to put the decimation of Hezbollah in this category as well. These events are a continued fulfillment of the sixth vial being poured out in Revelation 16. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Revelation 16 and verse 12. The sixth trumpet in Revelation 9 unleashes the four angels which are bound by the Euphrates. This ultimately resulted in the Turkish flood that brought about the Ottoman Empire. However, this power had to be dried up so that the Jews could return. The return of the Jews is part of the preparation of the kings of the East. More literal translations of the New Testament, such as Young's Literal, bring out the special meaning of Revelation 16, verse 12. Rotherham's translation reads, "That the way might be prepared of the kings who were from the rising of the sun." This rising of a sun is a spiritual idea. Once we recognize this, the passages flow into our mind. Malachi 4, verse 2. "Unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." Matthew 13, verse 43. "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Today we are witnessing the continued drying up of these Euphratean powers. This will ultimately lead to the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ and his saints, being introduced into the little kingdom of Judah, the little stone power of Daniel 2, which will smash the image of the kingdom of men to pieces. In the meantime, these events will lead to peace and prosperity in the Middle East. As we understand, President Trump is itching to proceed with a continuation of the Abraham Accords. This will bring about the situation described by Ezekiel in chapter 38, where the antagonist Gog describes the restored nation of Israel. "I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates." These events that we are witnessing today are directly in preparation for the return of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah of Israel. This makes these events absolutely incredible to witness. Russia's temporary turning back is an important factor, but we should not think that Russia will not be brought forth as at the appropriate time, so that the God of Israel can be magnified in the eyes of all nations. In fact, in Elpis Israel, John Thomas believed that Russia would possess Persia or Iran just subsequent to their destruction. He wrote, "It is worthy of remark here, with reference to the image at the crisis of its fate, that the power which shall possess Persia in the latter days will be the bear, and consequently answer to the breast of silver. We have already in the heraldry of the nations an intimation of the power destined to act the part of the bear, when the four beasts have their dominion taken away. This power is the Russian, whose symbol is a bear." This is so well known that the phrase "the Russian bear" is as familiar as household words. Russia, which already comprehends some of the Persian territory in its bounds, is destined to conquer Persia and to possess it from India to Ethiopia. This is not conjecture, but an absolute certainty. For God has declared by Ezekiel that Persia in the latter days shall be a constituent of the dominion of Gog, and that Gog is the autocratic dynasty of Russia will be seen when we come to treat of that prophecy in its proper place. When Russia, known in Ezekiel 38 as Gog, the prince of Rosh, reaches the height of its power, the three ribs of Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya will be in its mouth. This could be after the return of the Lord Jesus to judge his household, but before his manifestation with power to the world. The Israeli military operation is called Rising Lion, a name taken from Bible prophecy. This is not a coincidence. The name of the operation Rising Lion is a witness to Bible truth. It draws the attention of the people of Israel to the word of the God of Israel. It places before the nations a prophecy of the latter days. In Numbers 24, Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. From this mountain in Moab, looking down upon the tents of Israel clustered around the tabernacle, who were on the verge of entering the promised land under Joshua, Balaam, under the Spirit of God, prophesied concerning them, and said, "As the valleys are spread forth as gardens by the river's side, as the trees of line aloes which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters, he shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with his arrows. He couched, he lay down as a lion, and as a great lion, who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee." These words have a direct application to the Ayatollahs and anyone else that would curse God's people. "Cursed is he that curseth thee, but who will stir up the Lion of Judah?" John Thomas commented on this prophecy in his work Eureka and applied it to the latter days. Little did he know, many years later, the president of Israel would name a military operation from this verse and write it on a note and put it in the Western Wall in the restored city of Jerusalem. John Thomas wrote, "This standing up of Israel upon their feet is the political resurrection predicted by Balaam and recorded by Moses in Numbers 23, verse 24, saying, 'Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion, and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat the prey and drink the blood of the slain. His king shall be higher than Agag, or Gog, and his kingdom shall be exalted. Ale brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations his enemies, and shall break their bones, and pierce them through with his arrows.'" Chapter 27, verses 7 and 8. When all the necessary preparations have been completed, the time will have arrived for the Star of Jacob to set those forces into motion, for the purpose of destroying him that remaineth in the city." End quote. So it is the Star of Jacob mentioned by Balaam when he takes up his prophecy the next time, that is to put the great lion into motion, to raise him up. This is confirmed by Jacob's blessings to his sons at the end of his life, when he informed them of what would happen in the last days. To Judah he said, "Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." So it is Shiloh, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will raise up the Lion of Judah. This operation, Rising Lion, is certainly momentous, but it will be nothing in comparison to the operation Rising Lion when the old great Lion of Judah is raised up by the Messiah. In fact, that work of raising up Judah has been going on for well over 100 years. They have been brought forth out of the nations and now dwell upon the mountains of Israel, just waiting for the day when they will be raised up to invincible power by Shiloh, the Star of Jacob. We could say this operation Rising Lion is a herald of a much greater operation Rising Lion to be performed by the Star of Jacob. May that day soon come. Come back next week, God willing, to www.bibleinthenews.com as we continue to examine these exciting times in the light of the Word of God. Thanks for listening.